Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the governor of the heart of Texas, Mr. Kinky Friedman.
Gather around me, children, a story I will tell about pretty boy Floyd, the outlaw Oklahoma, knew him well. He was in a town of Shawnee on a Saturday afternoon with his wife beside him in a wagon. It was in the town he rode. Well, a deputy sheriff called him in a manner rather rude, using vulgar words of language, and his wife she overheard. Pretty boy grabbed a lock chain, the deputy grabbed a gun, and in the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. He took to the woods and timbers, he lived a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma, they laid unto his name. He took to the river bottoms along the North Canadian shore, and many a starving farmer, he opened up his door. Many a little farmer, the same old story goes, how pretty boy paid the mortgage and saved their little home. They tell about a stranger who came to beg a meal, and underneath his napkin left $1,000 bill. In Oklahoma City, it was on a Christmas day, come a whole wagon load full of groceries, and a note on which did say, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Well, here's a Christmas dinner for your family's own relief. Now, around this world I've rambled, I've seen many funny men. Some will rob you with a six-gun, and some with a fountain pen. But as through your lives you ramble, boys, as through your lives you roam, you'll never see an outlaw drive a family from their home. Thank you very much. Folks, it's been a financial pleasure. Thank you very much. Here's my favorite Irish toast. You see, I used to drink Guinness on stage all the time, the drink that kept the Irish from taking over the world. I've now shifted to Mexican mouthwash, tequila. I call it the Barry Manilow drink because it makes you feel good for a short period of time. Now, we have our own brand in Texas, Kinky Friedman's Man in Black Tequila. We like to say this is not your father's tequila. This is your grandfather's gardener's tequila. So my favorite Irish toast, may the best of the past be the worst of the future. And then as the... there's the elderly, let me say this. It was in Kerrville, Texas at the UPS store about 3 weeks ago. A man came up to me and he said, you look like the white Richard Pryor, which I took as a compliment. And I told him if Richard Pryor were here today, he'd be a homeless person. You know, he could never ride Blazing Saddles again in our country. I mean, we used to call Mexicans greasers, you know. Now we call them lubricanos. So as the young bride said to her elderly husband, don't die on me, motherfucker. And then, of course, my favorite Texas toast, here's to honor. Get on her and stay on her. Now here's a song from the new record, Loneliest Man I Ever Met, produced by Brian Molnar, a.k.a. the Mad Hungarian, who did a great job with this record. Now, Willie played the first song, which we kind of, it's Bloody Mary Morning, and we call this kind of the, I had an old girlfriend once who used to refer to Jägermeister as a great leg opener. This is the leg opener for the record. This kind of draws people into it. But I smoked about 8 joints with Willie before we recorded this. And I don't smoke dope. I mean, I only smoke with Willie, kind of as a matter of Texas etiquette. Now, speaking of Willie, I should mention, of course, that as we recorded the song, I got so high I needed a stepladder to scratch my ass. All right? But Willie gave me some very good advice, and that was just before I ran for governor of Texas as an independent candidate, a race we won every place but Texas. Willie's advice was just this. If you're going to have sex with an animal, always make it a horse. Because that way, if things don't work out, at least you know you've got a ride home. Now, this has served me well in life and in politics. So we're going to keep politics out of this pretty much, out of the show, but people have been asking me who I'm supporting for president. I think the Republican debate is on tonight. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm for Bernie. And if I can reach one person out there, I think I'm a success. I'm for him because I want to see a G in the White House. And you know, folks, if Bernie wins this thing, if he wins, it'll be the first time a Jewish family ever moved into a place that a black family had just moved out of. Try drinking Mexican mouthwash tonight. I'd like to suggest that you try it cowboy style. What we do is we lay out a line of salt, we snort the line of salt, then we take a slice of lime and we squeeze it in our own eye. Then we kill the shot. So this is the title track of the record, written by Will Hoover and myself. There's a very funny Will Hoover story, but it takes about 3 hours to tell. He wrote Freedom to Stay, recorded by Waylon Jennings and Tina Turner, which was an eclectic number of people to record this song. But at any rate, what was I talking about? I was talking about the title track. This one has kind of it was written about our friend Tom Paul Glaser, who was interesting because he was kind of one of the outlaws, but he was a real big shot with the establishment. He was a real success. So he kind of burned every bridge he had to do it. And he's kind of an unsung hero. And we will, in just a moment, we have another one of the Glazers here tonight who I'm very close to, who produced my first record in 1973, Chuck Glaser. And Chuck, let's have a hand for Chuck. And we'll come back to this in a moment. This is the 28th consecutive show that we've done without taking a night off, which is an idea of Willie's, that you develop adrenaline, you begin to run on pure adrenaline. So that's kind of what I'm after tonight. I also want to, let's have a little light applause now for Brian Molnar and Joe Serrano. They're really good. They're a little too good. Now what was I talking about, sir? Just about the title track. So raise your glasses, one and all. Drink a toast to the great Tom Paul.
Yes, sir.
Last night he had 'em in his hand, kept 'em laughing till they left him there with nothing but the bottle and the bill. Though it was the happy hour, it wasn't any fun, 'cause the party again was just a party of one. The neon lights were dying as he tried to find his feet. He heard a newsboy crying as he stepped out on the street. Extra, extra, mister, read about the latest war. Ah, but who needs burning bridges at a quarter after four? And he swore into the mirror as he killed a cigarette. I'm the loneliest man I ever met. He watched a wired and weary face reflected on the glass. He dropped another quarter down and watched the pinball flash. Far away, a jukebox played a mournful country song, and Nebraska passed before his eyes and melted in the dawn. And he swore into the mirror as he killed a cigarette. I'm the loneliest man. I'm the loneliest man. I'm the loneliest man I ever met. Thank you very much, folks. You know, I'm 71 years old now, as of last week, though I read at the 73-year-old level. And I'm losing my hearing. I mean, a lot of you probably are experiencing that. I find that it's a good thing, because you don't have to listen to all the bullshit of the world, and you can make up more interesting things that people are saying than what they're really saying, even if you have an imagination. An example of that would be that I was on a plane a few months ago with a kid sitting next to me. Well, he might have been a 47-year-old man, but he was. I told him, I can't fucking believe it. I'm 70 years old. I was 70 then. And so this kid says, well, my dad just turned 70, and he's wearing a bikini. This interested me. So I continued the conversation, and then I found out what the kid had really said, which was, my dad has just turned 70, and he's moving to McKinney, Texas. And the other thing, a few months before we made the record, I was talking to Willie about the thing, and Willie, of course, has three religions. They are golf, music, and drugs. And now I find golf stultifyingly dull. I don't play golf. The only two good balls that I ever hit was when I stepped on the garden rake. Stepped on the garden rake. But when I can't hear somebody's name, it does irritate me. It frustrates me. And it reminds me of the old man who wanted to rake leaves in his backyard, but he couldn't find the rake. So he hollers up to his wife, who's sitting on the deck, where's the rake? And his wife says, what? And the old man's getting irritated. He says, I need the rake. So the wife goes, and the old man says, what? And the wife says, I left it behind the bush. And more sophisticated the crowd, the better that would work. I'm going to send this one out to a hero of mine. I don't have many heroes. I have 23 heroes, actually. From when I was a kid. We'll get into that in a minute. But John Prine. John? And the Lord brought us together today. Just by accident, a big town like this, that is pretty damn remarkable. If the two of us would just, our paths would cross. And there must be a purpose for it, John. There has to be a meaning here, a reason. I think I am going to, well, let's not get into that. I'm either going to kill myself or become an evangelical. I mean, I shouldn't be rambling like this. All right, so here's a song that I would think, if I were John Prine, that I would like. From a cheap hotel in Dallas, on a cold December day, a telegram was traveling on its way. Like a sad old song from somewhere in the distance of a dream, flashing across the darkness on the telegraph machine. It said from Billy at the bottom to Baby at the top, Western Union wire, please help me stop. Western Union wire, don't leave me, stop. Well, the taxi cab, it took her to the airport in the dawn. She knew in just 1 hour she'd be gone. She was standing near the platform, about to board the big Pan Am, when someone came and put the lonely message in her hand. It said from Billy at the bottom to Baby at the top, Western Union wire, please help me stop. Western Union wire, don't leave me, stop. Then high above Chicago, just a reaching for the skies, she found herself with teardrops in her eyes. And a little boy beside her asked her, Mama, where's Pa? And she just broke down and cried, 'cause she knew she couldn't stop. It said from Billy to Baby at the top, Western Union, don't leave me, star. You said you'd always love me, how could you star? In pieces on the runway, was produced by Chuck Glaser. Good Chuck. We're going to hold this. Okay, how are we doing, Brian? How long have I been out there? It seems like an eternity. 25 minutes. Folks, I think it's fair to say, probably to tell you this, I am battling an illness tonight, well, in general. I'm fighting this illness, EOA. I don't know if you know EOA. It's an early onset asshole, basically. there are 26 parts of the male anatomy that do not work. There's two teats that won't deliver milk. There's 20 nails that won't nail. There's one belly button that won't button. There's two balls that won't bounce. And there's one cock that won't crow. And honey, what are you smiling about? You got a pussy that won't chase mice. So do we keep that or cut it from the show? I don't know. My damnedest, man. Okay, enough of that. Folks, Thanksgiving is fast approaching. And as you may know, this is a song about the Native American who raised the flag after the Battle of Iwo Jima, Ira Hayes. John, did you ever do this song?
Never did.
No. Okay. Well, it just very briefly, it was written by Peter LaFarge, who I believe killed himself later in the year after he wrote the song, and it was picked up by Patrick Sky, did a great version of it. Johnny Cash recorded it, Townes Van Zandt recorded it. Everybody who records this song dies. History of it is. But it's a great story, and I don't know how many of you know the Native American Thanksgiving prayer. And if you don't know it, it goes like this. Thanks for nothing. Here then is the true story of the ballad of Ira Hayes. Gather around me, people. A story I will tell. About a brave young Indian lad you should remember well. From a tribe of Pima Indians, a proud and peaceful band, they farmed the Phoenix Valley out in Arizona land. Down their ditches for 1,000 years the sparkling water rushed, till the white man stole their water rights and the running water hushed. Ira's folks was hungry. Their fields grew thick with weeds. But when war came, Ira volunteered and forgot the white man's greed. Call him drunken Ira, he won't answer anymore. Not that whiskey drinking Indian or Marine went to war. Well, they battled up Iwo Jima Hill. 250 men. Ah, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And after the fight was over, an old glory proudly raised. Among the men who held her high was an Indian. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not that whiskey drinking Indian or Marine who went to war. Well, Ira Hayes returned a hero, celebrated throughout the land. He was wined and speeched in honor and hell, everybody shook his hand. But he's just a Pima Indian. No food, no friend, no chance. And back home, nobody cared what Ira had did. And when do the Indians dance? Well, Ira took to drinking hard. Jail often was his home. They used to let him raise the flag there in Lawrence. Just like you throw a dog a bone. And Ira died drunk early one morning. All alone in the land he fought to save. 2 inches of water in a lonely ditch was a grave for Ira Hay. Call him drunken Ira Hay, he won't answer anymore. Not that whiskey drinking Indian armory who went to war. Call him drunken Ira Hay, but his land is still as dry, and his ghost, well, it's lying there thirsty in the ditch where Ira died. Call him drunken Ira Hay, he won't answer anymore. Not that whiskey drinking Indian armory who went to war. Bill Clinton's favorite Kinky Friedman song. And if you know this little booger, help me out with it. I, of course, am the only man who has slept at the White House under 2 presidents. Bill and George W. I don't really think we have any candidates running at all that are... Well, we don't want to get into all this, but I've suggested that we limit every elected official to 2 terms, 1 in office and 1 in prison. Bill excluded. I mean, all right, Brian, how long have we been here?
Well, about 35 minutes.
Oh, great. Well, we're there. Okay. All right, okay. Let me read you a brief chapter from the book Heroes of a Texas Childhood, 23 Heroes of Mine When I Was a Kid, which did not include John Prine or Chuck Glaser, because, I mean, many of you were jumping rope in the schoolyard back then. I was selling dope in the schoolyard back then. But these are heroes of mine when I was very young. I found by showing this to some college kids in Texas that they never heard of Barbara Jordan. They never heard of Audie Murphy. They never heard of most of these people. So they don't know upon whose shoulders they stand. And I'm sure it's true of young people in Tennessee as well. So if I ever am elected governor of Texas, this book's going to be mandatory reading in public school. This is a story about my father, who died 14 years ago. I've kept the story in the present tense. I recommend keeping everybody you love in the present tense as long as you possibly can. This is called Tom Friedman, the Navigator. Because I'm the oldest living Jew in Texas who doesn't own real estate, given my status in general as a colorful character, there are those who profess to be surprised that I ever indeed had a father or a mother. I assure you, I had both. For many years, my parents owned and directed Echo Hill Ranch, a summer camp near Kerrville, where I grew up, or maybe just got older. I remember my dad, Tom Friedman, talking to all the campers on Father's Day in the dining hall after lunch. Each summer he'd say essentially the same words. For those of you who are lucky enough to have a father, now's the time to remember him and let him know that you love him. Write a letter home today. Many years have passed since I last heard Tom's message to the campers, but love, I suppose, has no sell-by date. When my father was a young boy, growing up in the Chicago in the late 20s, his first job was working for a Polish peddler. The man had a horse and cart that was loaded up with fruits and vegetables, and Tom sat on the very top. Through the streets and alleys of the old West Side they'd go, with the peddler crying his wares in at least five languages, and my father running the purchases up to the housewives who lived on the top floors of the tenement buildings. There were trolley cars then, clotheslines strung across city alleys like medieval banners. My father still remembers the word the peddler seemed to cry out more than any other. The word was kartoffel. It is Polish for potato. In November 1944, my mother, Minnie, gave birth to me in a manger somewhere on the south side of Chicago. I lived there 1 year, couldn't find work, and moved to Texas, where I haven't worked since. And all this time, my father was far away, fighting for his country and his wife and a baby boy he might never see. Tom was a navigator in World War II, flying a heavy bomber for the 8th Air Force. The old B-24, also known as the Liberator, which in time it was. Tom's plane was called the I've Had It. He flew 35 successful missions over Germany, the last occurring on November 9th, 1944, 2 days after he learned that he was a brand new father. As the navigator, the responsibility fell to him to bring the 10-man crew back safely. In retrospect, it's not terribly surprising that fate and the powers that be had selected Tom to be the navigator. He was the only one aboard the I've Had It who possessed a college degree. He was also the oldest man on the plane. He was 23 years old. After each successful mission, it was a custom to paint a small bomb on the side of the plane. In the rare instance of shooting down an enemy plane, a swastika was painted. When one incoming crew, however, accidentally hit a British runway maintenance worker, a small teacup was painted on the side of the plane, practically engendering an international incident. Tom was a hero in what he still refers to as the last good war. For his efforts, he received the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Air Medal with 3 oak leaf clusters, and the heartfelt gratitude of the crew. Yet the commanding officer's first words to Tom and his young compatriots had not been wrong. The CO told them, look at the man on your left, look at the man on your right. When you return, he'd said, they will not be here. This dire prophecy proved to be correct. The mighty 8th suffered a grievous attrition rate during the height of the war. After the war, Tom and Min settled in Houston, where Tom pioneered community action programs. Min became one of the first speech therapists in the Houston public schools. In the late 50s, they moved to Austin, where Tom was a professor of educational psychology at the University of Texas. It was in 1953, however, that my parents made possibly their greatest contribution to children far and wide by opening Echo Hill Ranch. My mother passed away in 1985, but Tom, known as Uncle Tom to the kids, still runs the camp. Like most true war heroes, Tom rarely talks about the war. My sister, Marcy, once saw Tom sitting alone in a darkened room and asked, "Is everything all right, Father?" To this, Tom replied, "The last time everything was all right was August 14th, 1945. That was the day Japan surrendered." On a recent trip to O'Hare Airport in Chicago, I commandeered a limo and drove through the area where Tom had grown up. There were slums and suburbs and Starbucks. But the trolley cars and the clotheslines and the peddler with his horse and cart were gone. Kartoffel, I said to the limo driver, that he just looked straight ahead. Either he wasn't Polish or he didn't want any potatoes. Today, Tom lives in Austin with his new wife, Edith Krueger, and his two dogs, Sam and Perky. He has three children and three grandchildren. He eats lunch at the Frisco, still plays tennis with his old pals. He did not, as he contends, teach me everything I know. Only almost everything. He taught me tennis. He taught me chess. He taught me how to belch. He taught me to always stand up for the underdog. He taught me the importance of treating children like adults and adults like children. He's a significant American because by his example, his spirit, and his unseen hand, he's guided children of all ages safely through the winding, often torturous courses of their lives. And one of them was me. Tom's war is long over. Indeed, the whole era seems gone, like the crews who never came home, lost forever among the salt shaker stars. And yet, when the future may look its darkest, there sometimes occurs an oddly comforting moment when, with awkward grace, the shadow of a silver plane flies inexplicably close to my heart. One more mission for the Navigator. I thank you kindly. Well, let's bring up now the greatest harmonica player in the world, Mickey Rayfield. This is a song that is on the album that Chuck Glaser produced, Sold American, in 1973. Now, neither Chuck nor I knew that this song, this cassette, I guess it was a cassette tape back then, would be smuggled into Robben Island in South Africa and wind up in the hands of Nelson Mandela in prison. We didn't know that. You know, people said you never know who's going to hear the record that you record. This will be fairly brief, Mickey. You don't need to go. Oh, no. But in 1996, when I was in South Africa, this information was imparted to me by Tokyo Seshwale, spelled Sex Whale, who was a Mandela. He worked for Mandela. He was Mandela's right-hand man, and he was in the cell next to Mandela on Robben Island in prison. Now, he told me, he said, Mandela played this song, Sold American, a few times. That was the record that Chuck produced on Kinky in 1973. He said, but then Mandela stumbled onto Ride 'em Jew Boy. He said, now this song, Mandela would, it would be the last song he would play every night, late at night. He would sign off with it. This went on for several years. Now Mandela served over 30 years in prison. Why he chose that song, I have some ideas. One is, Mickey, that Mandela was a lawyer. Is John Strom still here? Did John Strom pass away? Is he here? No? Okay, I thought you said John was here, Brian. No? No, okay. John is our lawyer who got the record to, or got the idea to 30 Tigers, and now we're off to the races here. But what was I talking about, man? Mandela in prison. No, yeah, he's a lawyer. He wants to join a law firm, but no firm will take him because they won't take a black in South Africa. Finally, the Jews took him in Johannesburg, the Jewish law firm. And they're very radical guys. They told him, Nelson, they loved Nelson. They said, Nelson, just stay out of politics. Don't be a troublemaker. You'll be the most famous black lawyer in the whole country. And of course, fortunately for all of us, Mandela did not take their advice. So this song that was on this record that Chuck produced is a, well, let's put it this way. You can win Grammys, you can win a lot of awards. Waylon Jennings never liked awards very much. I don't either. I don't get many. This is a spiritual award that both Chuck and I richly deserve. I don't know if we deserve it or what, but it's a great thing. I mean, it's a spiritual, it is a small fraternity of men we're talking about. Jesus, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela. There is nobody on the horizon or on the landscape like that that continues to inspire. In fact, I would say there's no elected official or candidate that inspires any of us at this time in this country. These four guys are the real civil rights leaders. I mean, they are the real leaders of men and women. And so while Bill Clinton's favorite Kinky song was Waitress, Please Waitress, Come Sit on My Face, this would then be Nelson Mandela's favorite Kinky song. Now the guy told me, he said, Kinky, don't get a swelled head. You're not his favorite singer. His favorite singer? Dolly Parton. But we'll take what we got, Chuck, okay? All right, here we go. All right, so ready, Mick? You boy, ride them all around the old corral. I'm with you, boy. If I've got to ride 6 million miles, now the smoke from camps arising. See the helpless creatures on their way. Hey, old town, ain't it surprising how far you can go before you stay? And don't you let the morning blind you when on your sleeve you wore the yellow star. Old memories still live behind you. Can't you see by your outfit who you are? How long will you be driven relentless round the world? The blood in the rhythm of the soul. Wild ponies are. Your dreams were broken, rounded up and made to move along. The loneliness which can't be spoken just swings a rope and rides inside a song. And dead limbs play with ringless fingers. Melody which burns you deep inside. Oh, how the song becomes the singer. May peace be ever with you and your bride. How long will you be driven relentless round the world? The blood in the rhythm of the soul. In the wind, dough candles glowing, reminds you that today you are a child. The road ahead forever roulette. And anything worth crying can be smiled. So right em, Jew boy. Ride em all around the old corral. I'm with you, boy. If I've got to ride 6 million miles. Folks, if you're driving this evening, don't forget your car. Hey, folks, I got a Christmas card that I'd like to share with you. I'd also like to share with you the information that I was molested as a young child by a rodeo clown. All right, I was 27 years old. What's it to you? This is a Christmas card that I was, maybe a Hanukkah card. You ready, Joe? Nick?
Yep.
John, how are you enjoying the show so far?
Very, very nice.
Very what?
Nice.
Nice, you are? Let's poll the audience. The audience appears to have gone into a diabetic coma. All right, folks. This is a Christmas card from, this will go out, by the way, to Michelle. It's a big Tom Waits fan. Tom Waits has been to all 50 states in the broom closet of the Tropicana Hotel. A Christmas card from a hooker in Minneapolis. Hey, Kinky, I'm pregnant and living on 9th Street, right above a dirty bookstore on Euclid Avenue. And I stopped taking dope. Quit drinking whiskey. And my old man plays the trombone. Works out at the track. He says that he loves me, though it's not his baby. He says that he'll raise him up like he was his own son. Gave me a ring. It was worn by his mother. He takes me out dancing every Saturday night. Hey, Kinky, I think about you every time I pass a filling station, on account of all the grease you used to wear in your hair. Still have that record, Little Anthony and the Imperials. Someone stole my record player. How do you like that? Hey, Kinky, I almost went crazy after Mario got busted. Went back to Omaha to live with my folks. Everyone I used to know was either dead or in prison. So I came back to Minneapolis. This time I think I'm gonna stay. Hey Kinky, I think I'm happy. For the first time since my accident, I wish I had all the money we used to spend on dope. I'd buy me a used car lot, wouldn't sell any of them. I'd just drive a different car every day, depending on how I feel. Hey Kinky, for Christ's sakes, if you want to know the truth of it, I don't have a husband. He don't play the trombone. And I need to borrow money to pay this lawyer. And Kinky, hey, I'll be eligible for parole come Valentine's Day. If I made a wish for every sacred star falling just outside of heaven's window, if I had the songs from Willie's old guitar and the dreams I left behind me on my pillow, and if I gave it all to you, if I took the fall for you, could you make it spring? Late yesterday, you smiled just like a lover and a friend. Late yesterday, you danced like it was yesterday again. They say that love is a paper boat upon the sea. They say that love is a reflection on the river. They say that love's a thing that's never meant to be. They say that love's a thing that's meant to be forever. And if I gave it all to you, if I took the fall for you, could you make it spring? Late yesterday, you smiled just like a lover and a friend. Late yesterday, you danced like it was yesterday again. This is a song written by Warren Zevon. Do we have any Warren Zevon fans here? out to Greg. Right? I knew Warren in Hollywood. We were not real close, but we were pals. And Warren stopped drinking at one point, cold turkey. I mean, half his tragic short life was, he was a pretty bad alcoholic, and he stopped completely cold turkey. And his road manager and I talked about it once, and the guy was telling me, he says, you know, Warren stopped drinking completely, just cold turkey, as a man, you know. But what's ironic about it is he's still an asshole. And my experience with Warren was he was a sweetheart, but that's because we were both born in the same hospital in Chicago, Michael Reese, along with Steve Goodman and Shel Silverstein and Mike Bloomfield. It's five Jew boys, one hospital, one town. At any rate, Warren wrote this song when he knew he was dying of cancer, but it's not a song about a man dying of cancer. It's really a perfectly brilliant, visionary description of the state of our country and our world. To the doctor, said I'm feeling kind of rough. Said, let me break it to you, son. Your shit's fucked up. I said, my shit's fucked up. Well, I don't see how. He said, the shit that used to work. Folks suffer like the rest of us. It'll happen to you. Die, but you just can't quit. Let me break it on down. Is the fucked up shit. Thank you. Director Rayfield, Joe Serrano. Thank you very much, folks. We'll be signing stuff right over here afterwards. I will sign anything but bad legislation. Got the new record. We got t-shirts. All right, folks, in the meantime, remember, Jesus loves you can be very comforting words unless you hear them in a Mexican prison. Find what you like and let it kill you. All right, here's my dad's favorite Johnny Cash song, and I know I'm over-identifying with my field of study, but on the new CD that Brian Molnar produced, Loneliest Man I Ever Met, this is a song of Johnny Cash. It's about a farmer waiting for his crop to come in, but it's really more than that. It's all of us laying by till picking time. Ready, Joe? Laying time, baby. Here we go. Well, the corn is yellow and the beans are high. The sun is hot in the summer sky. Working's hard till laying by till picking time, laying by till picking time. Every night before I go to bed, I thank the Lord that my kids are fed. They live on beans 8 days and nights. Get 'em fat, come picking time. Get 'em fat, come picking time. Hardly see by this coal or light. Turn it off pretty early at night. A jug of coal oil costs a dime. Stay up late, come picking time. Stay up late, come picking time. My old wagon barely gets me to town. Patch the wheels and I watered her down. She ain't much, but she'll be fine. To haul my cotton, come picking time. Haul my cotton, come picking time. Well, last Sunday morning when they passed the hat, was nearly empty back where I sat. The preacher smiled and he said, "That's fine. The Lord will wait till picking time. Lord will wait till picking time." Thank you very much. Thank you, John Klein, Chuck Glazer. Thank you.
Kinky Friedman, everyone. Remember, he'll sign anything but bad legislation. Come on over and grab a book and a CD.
Thank you, Kinky.
Kinky Friedman, everybody. Thank you.